let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe.
Just believe. In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. This is Filippo Voltaggio with Life Changes with Filippo. And today, our guest is Moshe Cohn. Now, this is going to be quite a different show. Let me tell you about our guest. Let's just start like that. While still in elementary school, Cohen's family immigrated to Israel from Los Angeles, where he studied in Jewish seminary and was drafted to the Israeli Defense Force as a combat medic. Now, already, that's hugely different. After the military, Cohen completed law school at Hebrew University, along with a bachelor's and master's in economics, all of which he completed summa cum laude. He then worked as a clerk and legal assistant to the Honorable Justice Dalia Dorner in the Israeli Supreme Court, where he helped write decisions and lectures in all areas of law and qualified and became a member of the Israeli bar. Now, during this time, Cohen also worked on his new law proposals through the Israeli Democracy Institute and taught in various capacities in Hebrew universities, law school, and economics department. Now, in 2004, Cohen moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts, where he obtained a PhD in economics from MIT. Already, very different. I mean, it just gets better. In 2009, he moved to New York City and became an assistant professor of finance and economics at Columbia Business School. Now, Professor Cohen teaches the MBA course on capital markets and investments and conducts research in finance and economics, primarily in the areas of corporate finance, industrial organization, law, and economics. Law and economics, structural econometric methods, and the intersections of these fields. Now, if that isn't interesting enough, we would normally interview him based just on that, because this is not only fascinating, but it's right in the middle of what's happening in the world with economics and finances and all that stuff. But recently, our producer, Mark, ran into Mr. Moshe Cohen, or professor, I should say, at Burning Man, which is completely different than anything we just read. And so with that comes a whole other conversation, which I'm sure is going to be fascinating, and I can't wait to have it when we come back with Moshe Cohen after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IONWAY's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IONWAY's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful foods. Boku Superfood.
What is the one thing that every man, woman, and child have in common? Life changes. Are you experiencing change at home, at work, at school, or in other areas of your life? Are you looking to make a change, maybe a new job or place to live? How about getting in on a conversation that matters? Join host Filippo on the top-rated BBS radio network show, Life Changes with Filippo, live every Monday night at 7 p.m. For more information, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com.
We are back. I am Filippo, and I must admit, I'm not one to get tired, and I'm not tired, actually, but I have had no sleep. Talking about life changes, life-changing weekends, I have been on the East Coast all weekend, and I'm normally, as most of you know, on the West Coast, and being on the East Coast, I was still on California time, and so I was falling asleep around 1 o'clock my time here, which was 3 o'clock in the morning there. And so since I had rehearsals and stuff, I had to be up by 8 o'clock in the morning there, which is 5 o'clock in the morning here. So you could imagine. Well, this morning I had a five something air flight out of the East Coast. So I had to be up by 4 and out, so I didn't sleep, and I'm now here doing the show. And I'm reflecting on the whole weekend and how it lack of sleep, but so much love and so much experience, so many experiences. And I was performing in front of 5,000 people with a full orchestra. It was an outdoor event, and all of a sudden, the concert was supposed to start 3 hours later. I hadn't rehearsed yet for the day, and all of a sudden, the producer called the concert and said we were going to do the concert 3 hours earlier because the rain was coming. And since it was an outdoor event, a lot of people were there already picnicking, et cetera, et cetera. So they just said, start. And we went and did the concert. Now, some people were upset, but for the most part, people were going with it. The orchestra didn't get their rehearsal either, so they were just going with it. Conductor was just going with it. Us performers, we just went with it. We didn't know what would happen, and sometimes that shit happens, but no shit happened. It was all really good. And everybody was helping each other and supporting each other and trying to keep each other positive, because we didn't know from one moment to the next if there was going to be any screw-ups, if the rain was going to start early. The weather reports kept saying this and that. And I have to tell you that on the one hand, I kind of wish things had gone beautifully and smoothly and normally. But on the other hand, I got so much from just trusting that it's going to be okay, and just trusting that we're all professionals and that we're all supporting each other, and the elements, they did eventually come. The storm did come, and it's interesting. I got texts actually from friends that knew I was doing this. One text said, "Use the energy of the storm, and you be one with the storm, and really, really go for it. And it's going to be better than it ever was." And you know what? My performance was one of the best performances I ever gave. Some of the people weren't able to go with the elements or go with the energy, and they started yelling at each other, and it was kind of difficult. And I shared that with a friend, and she texted back, "They're performers. They're trained to be good on stage, not behind stage. So, you know, understand that." And I thought, wow, I never really thought about that. That's really insightful. Another friend said, "You're good at improv. Remember that. If anything happens, you can always improv and make it even better." So I just kept getting this support, and one thing led to another, which was better than the thing before. And before I knew it, the concert was over. It didn't rain till all the people left. And it was one of the best experiences I had had. And I've come back. I'm truly different from that experience. And so I'm sharing that with Mark, our producer, and he's kind of laughing because all week he's been talking about how different he was from the week's worth of experience he had at Burning Man.
And so it's a perfect story and certainly a interesting correlation because of the elements that you're facing, the immersive experience of dealing with people and entertaining and personalities. And like you said, some people coming unglued, et cetera. We didn't have any of that. It was an immersive experience full of almost an overwhelming amount of love, but certainly the elements, the different nature of it and just the series of synchronicities and the experience that, that me and my new friend, Moshe Cohen, got to share an experience. Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that I got left with on the stories that you shared with me before I left to go back east. And now the stories that I came away with is people coming together, supporting each other. Actually, isn't that kind of what Burning Man is about?
Well, that's the amazing part of this is it's so in tune and so aligned with what we are about in terms of life changes, in terms of what we see as possible in terms of the way people can live in community when you let go, when you start looking at a gifting or a giving environment and you really, cultivate an atmosphere of caring and of unity. And there's a whole culture that comes together that's created organically at Burning Man for these couple of weeks that I really think that's why we want to have this discussion today is there's elements of this culture that certainly can be brought back to everyday life and should become normal, should become part of the way we relate and as a larger, civilization.
Well, I've always been curious about it and I've always been interested and I've had lots of friends that have gone and have told me that I need to go and that they've threatened to take me with them. But the friends that have gone, all of them are either artistic or in Hollywood or in some kind of a creative side of life and some spiritual and some yogis and all that stuff. But this was the first time, like somebody like you that I'm close to that who was businessman, et cetera, goes. And then you came back and told me about all of these business people, like billionaires and people that have, companies that they run were out there. And then when you told me about Moshe and him being a professor, I'm thinking, wait a minute, of all the people, I want to have this conversation with this guy, and with you, and let's see what we can come up with together. Because to me, that's, like you say, that's life changes.
Well, it is life changes, and that's what's so unique about that experience is, yeah, all these personalities out there, but you really get back to the fact that we are creators. When you're a child, you're full of imagination. You're taught to cultivate that. And that somehow, we get disconnected from that when we get into the 9-to-5s or get into the consumer driven areas. And I think that's one thing that, the culture that is created, and we'll talk about the specifics when Moshe comes on, but it really puts you back into that space of letting go and creating. Whether you create whatever you'd create outside, whether you're an artist or you create companies, we are creative beings. That's what we do. Every day we wake up, we're creating the life around us. And there's a giant reminder to get out of the box down there. And there's so much inspiration in terms of the creative process and the energy that's put into that down there. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I hope it's okay to say this, but I remember saying to you when you were headed out there, I said, take all your hats off. You're not head of this and you're not, you're not a father. You're not a husband. You're not a this. You just go and just be Mark.
Well, you know what? And that was good advice, and it's also kind of what you have to do. That's part of the magic of the elements that are down there, the heat and the dust of the playa and this unique, amazing multi-sensory experience is that you kind of give into it. you're distant from the way, you know, I was certainly distant from the way I live my life up here. And at some point, you know, you're not on your computers, you're not on your phones, you're not connected to that day-to-day grind. And you really get to a place of letting go and of kind of becoming one with the energy and the process and the people around you. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. And Moshe sounds really awesome. I can't wait to meet him in person. I've gotten to talk to him and learned a little bit about him, and I'll share a little bit more with you all. Again, he's done everything from being a combat medic to graduating summa cum laude with a bachelor's and master's in economics. He went on to assist a justice in the Israeli Supreme Court to help him write decisions and lectures of in all areas of law, and qualified and is a member of the Israeli Bar. Cambridge, Massachusetts, he obtained a PhD in economics from MIT. I could go on and on. Currently, he is an assistant professor of finance and economics at Columbia Business School. And I should probably add that he is also a student himself, a practitioner and a teacher of various forms of yoga in New York City. So when we come back, we're going to talk to this fascinating man, Moshe Cohen, when we come back. This is Filippo with Life Changes with Filippo.
A healthy new you is on its way, and it starts with Laminine. Laminine is a natural, synergistic superfood that contains most known vitamins, important trace minerals, all 8 essential amino acids, and other nutritional elements. Laminine is nature's most perfect food and the perfect combination of life-giving sustenance sourced from land, sea, and plants. The key ingredient in Laminine is a normal adaptogen called fibroblast growth factor, which helps to create a balance or normalization and aids in restoring the body to its natural state of homeostasis. Regular use of Laminine has been known for reducing the signs of aging by giving you healthier skin, decreasing the effects of stress, increasing physical, mental, and emotional strength, increasing libido, and it's also been believed to elevate serotonin levels, thus improving mood, aiding in brain function, and increasing alertness and focus, all while developing an overall sense of well-being. Are you ready for the healthy new you? For more information, email trylaminine now@gmail.com. That's Laminine, Laminine, or call 818-462-6782. That's 818-462-6782.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of 4 and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse.
But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a Galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive, which include luminaries such as New York Times best-selling author Gary Zukav, Oscar-nominated actress Mariel Hemingway, Comedy Central's favorite Kyle Cease, international recording artists The Green Children, and radio and TV personality Shadow Stevens. Visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com or join our community at lifechangesnetwork.com and email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or comment via Twitter at I Am Filippo and on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and this is Life Changes with Filippo here on the BBS Radio Network. And our guest today is Professor Moshe Cohen. Without further ado, Professor, what do you think about the conversation we've been having so far?
Hi, Filippo. Am I heard?
Yeah.
And Mark, thanks
Hello.
For having me.
Hello, Moshe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. What do I think so far? I think I agree with most of it. I think... Before having this conversation, we asked ourselves the same questions. The first is, what is Burning Man? And most people who you ask say, come see for yourself. It's impossible to describe. They throw around a few themes like radical inclusion, gifting, community, self-expression. But none of them can fully capture what's there or even accurately capture, represent what's there. And therefore, this conversation is very much in the right place. I just want to say that I think the other point that you raised in terms of whether and why I would be the right person to discuss this. So I don't think I'm the right person to discuss this. I'm a person to discuss this. One of the themes there, which is not just there, but highlighted there, is how we're all part of this and we all have different perspectives. And you go from this perspective of trying to teach, or at least I come from a perspective of teaching and maybe preaching, to a perspective of hopefully inspiring, because being there, you see all you really want to do is ignite this fire, which is one of the main themes of Burning Man. But I would just say one more thing, which is I think this whole idea of life changes or different forms of consciousness and existence and all these words kind of trigger these stereotypes of a certain type of person. And what I think Mark and I experienced there was that Burning Man was relevant for all types of people. And me, at least my resume so far, or part of it that you're reading, is very much a different stereotype than the stereotype of Burning Man. So I think this is kind of a good forum to discuss this. I should just say that these conversations that Mark and I had really helped us through Burning Man, because there's so much expression and sensory stimulation, and therefore so much processing and intellectual digestion is needed. And you're in this space of this sensory overload, which you feel that you need to digest, but there's so much to take in, and you're taking in so much, it's really hard to digest this. So Mark and I did some of this ourselves, to ourselves. We did a lot talking to each other, but so much more is needed. We're now 1 week out of it, and all the ideas that we're going to raise in this show are just ideas in flux of us trying to understand and process what we saw and how we can bring that to our lives. The second point is that this is a life-changing experience, going there the way we did, in the state that we did, and I think it is for a lot of people, and discussing it with people since then has shown me that it really is for a lot of people. You sort of experience a sense of self that feels completely comfortable, and I guess we'll talk about this on the show, but the point is you feel that it's completely you, that you're in this space and you're being completely you. Not because you're on vacation and you're not working in a traditional sense. It just feels like you're on track, and fortunately, maybe somewhat unfortunately, it's different from how you were feeling before this. And therefore, it's a paradigm of how you should feel and how you should relate and interact with people. It's and Mark, you feel free to jump in, but I think you ask yourself, am I doing what makes me feel right? And when we always ask ourselves that question, but when you just experience the state where if something feels right in the way that you're acting and interacting and thinking and talking to people, then everything you do when you come back has to be judged by that barometer. Am I really doing what I should be doing? Am I feeling the way I should be feeling? And this, to me, is a form of life change. It's a jolt to the system that helps awaken our true sense of self and forces us to realign and get back on the track or on the tracks that guide us. And what I've learned, I mean, we'll see how this manifests in our own life, but many people go and don't go back. They completely change their life after this experience, especially after the first time, because when you see and feel what we've seen, a part of you stays there. You can't go back. You want to bring all of that and mesh that with everything that makes you who you are.
You know, Moshe, I'm happy to hear that, actually, and I don't know that that's everybody's experience. I have, like I said, many friends who have gone, and I can't speak personally, but I can speak through watching them, and a lot of them come back having had a quote-unquote vacation. It's like they went to a playground, they did their thing, they came back, and now they're back in their daily lives. Not all of them, but definitely some of them. So the fact that you actually took this to heart and it became a part of you and that you're looking at your life today, that's the life changes part. The vacation is cool. We all need it, and that's important. And if that's all you would have gotten out of it, I mean, that sounds like a cool thing, but the fact that it's that it permeates, that's
an interesting point, because I was thinking about this today. Because the thing is, when you're in that state there, it feels like any person you interact with is in a state of bliss. And you look at people's faces, and all of these are super happy faces. So initially I thought, okay, everybody must be going through something similar to what I was going through and what Mark was going through. And Mark and I were completely dialed in on the same frequency with all of this. I mean, so our experience, and we were strangers going in. But then I thought some more, and I realized that, you know, to take in an experience, you do need to be in a certain state of openness and maybe readiness. I don't think you could, I mean, I guess you could for some think of it as a vacation, but the level of stimulation, of sensory stimulation, of visual stimulation, of thought-provoking things that you see is so extreme and concentrated, it's just hard for me to believe that it would just be another vacation. I mean, you could go travel and see beautiful nature, and you could marvel at the creations that exist in the world, but the combination of that with the people, with the feeling that you have, the uplifting feeling, is just phenomenal. And it did take us about 24, 36, maybe even 48 hours to sort of settle in. So we're hit with this shock, right? Mark and I were saying that it's kind of an intersection of being on another planet, being in some government experiment, and being in some super massive amusement park. Imagine going to Disneyland for the first time as a 4-year-old, but feeling that as an adult. So there is this initial shock, and you're on the outside, but then what happened to us is that we settled in, and then it was really an eye-opening experience.
So I think, Moshe, I'm going to jump in here as well. The part everything that you said, of course, since we are dialed in, is congruent for me. I think the one thing in addressing Filippo's comment, I did notice a bit of that. I can see where, from a human element, that you get what you give, right? You get what you're looking for. You create your reality as you go. I think you and I were gifted with, you know, not only having met each other and where we were in our readiness to experience this experience, but also all of the people around us, the friends we were with, the new friends we made, I could see some people going in there if they're not in a readiness state of really, you know, taking it all in or really opening up. Like if they're not authentic with themselves, it's very hard to get to that authentic place there. So, you know, you really don't, you don't kind of step away and enjoy the depth of it on an intellectual and a soul level. And I think that's part of what Filippo was talking about. I think when we come back after the next break, we should dive in a little bit more to what that means and I think how we, you know, where we took it.
We're talking to Professor Moshe Cohn, who just got back a week ago from Burning Man. This is Filippo and Mark with Life Changes with Filippo. We'll be right back.
Today, experience the Quick Fix, a simple process for positive change. Written by Bradley Quick, author, producer, motivational speaker, and host of the award-winning radio talk show, The Quick Fix with Bradley Quick on CoolChangeRadio.com. Bradley's passion for life is evident in his book, written so you can experience health, find your purpose, and have more effective relationships. Beating insurmountable odds, overcoming death and being paralyzed, Bradley fought his way back so he could help you conquer your struggles. Experience increased health, vitality, passion, and purpose in your life right now with the Quick Fix and read about Bradley's courage, ambition, and determination to live. Whether the issue is your thoughts, your physical body, or you just want to feel better and be happy, the Quick Fix, a simple process for positive change, will change your life. For only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, take positive action now and receive a free guided meditation CD with your order. That's a $20 value free with your order today. Go to BradleyQuick.com. That's BradleyQuick.com. Take control and begin feeling better now. Get the book and free CD now at BradleyQuick.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. And now a public service announcement from E! News anchor Juliana Rancic for the National Italian American Foundation.
We're fighters. You know, Italians are fighters, and we have passion, and we take great pride in our work. I truly believe that if I weren't Italian and I didn't have my parents, who are the ultimate Italians, as role models, I really don't believe I would ever have reached my goal. I'm an Italian American and I am so proud of it.
The Italian American heritage. Live it, love it, celebrate it.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org or telephone 323-592-3181. What is the one thing that every man, woman, and child have in common? Life changes. Are you experiencing change at home, at work, at school, or in other areas of your life? Are you looking to make a change, maybe a new job or place to live? How about getting in on a conversation that matters? Join host Filippo on the top-rated BBS radio network show, Life Changes with Filippo, live every Monday night at 7 p.m. For more information, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com.
Well, this is Filippo, and this is Life Changes with Filippo here on the BBS Radio Network. And our guest today is Professor Moshe Cohn, who has a fascinating history and who is a fascinating man in his own right. And then Mark, our producer, discovered him at or met him at Burning Man. And all of a sudden, the questions came to me when we were talking, having this conversation, like, what would a guy like that be doing at a place like that? And maybe there's something more to this, and maybe he can help start bringing some of that culture to places that are considered conservative, et cetera, et cetera. So, Mark, you were on something before we took a break.
Well, a couple of the things that we were talking about when you got into that community and the culture and the kind of letting go and really taking it in and really becoming the experience, I think that's a big part of it. And not everyone, I'm sure, right? Everybody is on their own journey, and so not everyone is in that place. But certainly that was the experience that we manifested, and what in the way that we came together, the group that we were with, the new friends that we met. But it was interesting because part of what you were talking about in the outset, you know, I had a slightly preconceived notion of who Moshe Cohn might be, having, you know, just heard who he is and what he does for a living. And then to connect on the level that we did, to connect intellectually, to connect emotionally as new friends and share the experiences. It's certainly an aspect of the transformationality of it. But we should probably get into more of what the Burning Man culture is, because a lot of people think, oh, it's just a giant party in the desert. And of course, that element is there, but there's such a deep, emotionally viable culture that's created around self-expression and some of these themes that I think that's really important, because that creates that, and the geography, the place you are, creates the backdrop for this whole experience.
Yeah, Moshe, I know that you did your own research or had your own information before going, and you seemed you seem to be able to talk about that. If you would, that'd be great.
I didn't know that much going in. I've lived in New York now for 3 years, and I had seen people come back with absolutely remarkable photos. So it's somehow just seeing this place as it is fascinating, right? That's just one of the types of stimulation. But also, I started to realize that people were forming bonds in these few days that really shaped the social structure of what their life was. I mean, for me personally, and I think for a lot of sort of professionals, we lose this forum, this natural social forum that we have through various phases in their life. So I'm still in university in a various form, so I'm in that structure, but things change. I think, you know, we start out and we have a social structure of like-minded people in our schools because our parents send us to similar schools. And this sort of continues throughout schooling. And then in college, we choose colleges and get into colleges where there are plenty of like-minded people, and people generally form bonds there. And it's very common to see people organized around their college friends even later in life. But once you're done with college or whatever university degrees you have, you then are placed into this workforce, which definitely narrows the circle of people that you meet. Some of the people you meet are in a business context, and perhaps you don't want to turn it into a social context. And this growth through social expansion is very much slowed throughout life. And for me personally, you know, when I was in graduate school, when I was getting a PhD, there's naturally a social structure of very interesting people at MIT, at Harvard, the people I interacted with. But then I become a professor, and I go to work and I do research and think about interesting questions and interact with my colleagues. But it's different. You don't have this mass of people. Sure, there's a mass of students, but there's a difference because I'm not their peer. I'm their teacher, and so some of this is lost. And I thought, this is really cool, because this is a group of people that people organize themselves in different camps, and it is an opportunity to sort of connect with people from different backgrounds that potentially there's a lot to connect on in a setting which we're very much encouraged and naturally inclined to be very social. So I was attracted to that aspect of it, and to the visuals, and all of that happened far more than I could imagine, because you leave kind of your traditional sense of status and who you are and where you come from behind, and you just interact with people on a more basic level of who you are and your interests, and then you find these types of connections like the one I made with Mark. So it was very interesting to kind of connect on that level. But I in no way, I mean, this thing exceeded my expectations in every sort of dimension that I could have thought of.
Okay, so we started off this conversation of since you spoke so much about what the philosophy is about Burning Man, I just assumed you learned about it before going there, but you learned about it afterwards? And what is it?
So I mean, I didn't learn that much about it before, but also because, you know, if I said to you, or if you said to me before, you're going to go to this beautiful place, and there's going to be this wonderful uplifting philosophy of radical self-expression, radical self-reliance, sharing, and community. All of those words are so laden with preconceived notions that are not what you necessarily see there. So in some sense, there is no way I could have done that sort of research before. I mean, at some point, I thought of going. The logistics of going are challenging because the self-reliance aspect means that you bring everything there, and the conditions are not necessarily amenable to any type of sustained living. There's nothing there. No insects even exist there. And so, you know, you need to be able to take the 5-7 days out of your life and do it. And I couldn't do it before, but I was curious. And somehow this year it worked out, and it wasn't a big, it wasn't too big of a deal to organize. And I found sort of an RV that Mark was in, and it just all seemed to align in the right way. And then I got this feeling that I should really go to this. It's important that I go to it this year. And that's kind of what pushed me there. In terms of what the themes are, I mean, this is something that I'm still processing. I mean, I'm very happy to share kind of initial thoughts on what it is about the themes that create this atmosphere. And, you know, I think it would be great to talk about this for the time that we have. So, I mean, the radical self-expression, reliance, sharing. So what is this? I think, you know, first of all, you start out with this notion of bring everything. They tell you, make sure you're bringing enough water. There's no water there. Bring enough water. Don't expect anything from anyone. And you can't buy anything from anyone because there's no money. There's perhaps trade. So you start out with this notion where I have to bring everything I could possibly need to a place where I shouldn't expect to get anything. After you do this, obviously, you're much more appreciative of anything anyone else gives you because it's a genuine gift, right? I mean, it's from the most basic level of Mark and I riding out into the desert and bringing some sort of spray bottle that refreshes people in the middle of the heat. And you go there and someone's just sitting there and you spray them and they're refreshed and they get this gift from you and you go away and it means something. It's different than some other sense of a transaction where we know where it's coming from. Here it's just a person that's never seen you and just wants to give to you. And because they want to give to you, and when they receive something, they feel an even stronger need to give. And so it kind of instills this sense of giving. That would be the first one.
Yeah, actually, and that's a big one, and all we have time for this segment. And when we come back, actually, this whole giving thing reminds me of something. And since you've come from an Israeli tradition or heritage, I'm wondering if when we come back, you can talk a little bit about the kibbutz and how there may be a correlation there. And if so, what that might be and how we could use that. So we are talking to Professor Moshe Cohen, who is a fascinating man in his own right, very learned, very educated, very quote-unquote conservative, and yet he was found by our producer, Mark Leisure, at Burning Man. So this is the conversation we're having, how we blend all the worlds. This is Filippo, and Life Changes with Filippo. We'll be right back after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's the little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit LifeChangesWithFilippo.com and click on our representation page.
What is the one thing that every man, woman, and child have in common? Life changes. Are you experiencing change at home, at work, at school, or in other areas of your life? Are you looking to make a change, maybe a new job or place to live? How about getting in on a conversation that matters? Join host Filippo on the top-rated BBS radio network show, Life Changes with Filippo, live every Monday night at 7 p.m. For more information, visit LifeChangesWithFilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com.
That is Filippo, or actually this is Filippo, and this is Life Changes with Filippo. We are having a conversation with Professor Moshe Cohn. Moshe, before the break, I brought up the question of kibbutz, and real quickly, if that has any correlation to what you experienced at Burning Man, being of Israeli heritage.
Oh, I think the question is very much in place, and it took me a couple minutes to think about it. I would say I would contrast Burning Man with both kibbutz, which is some sort of combination of socialism and Zionism. The concept of kibbutz evolved on its own right, And also the military service, which anyone, all Israelis are forced to do, both of which have the sense of community in the sense that everyone is working to the best of their ability towards this common pool of production. And, you know, this was seen as something which was very successful initially when this the new state was founded, because people came in with a huge amount of ideology and were inherently motivated, intrinsically and inherently motivated to work as hard as they can towards this general goal. And in the military, of course, as well, the idea is that you surrender everything and just work towards the goal of protecting the country. Where the contrast lies is that Burning Man is very much about yourself. In the military, it's very much not about yourself, right? All symbols of who you are taken away. You wear a uniform. It's the same uniform. Everyone has the same uniform. You wear your clothes. When they're dirty, you throw them into some pool and you get something else back. The sense of self is pretty much erased. Not entirely, right? There's expressions of bravery and we all have different abilities, but it's not about your own self. Burning Man, I think, is very much about the self, and this is where a lot of the power comes from. It is this self-expression, this self-reliance. The idea is to open people up to becoming who they really are and to inspiring other people by just having that expression of self, finding the expression of self and having that expression of self. I think one area that we could talk about it for is the expression of the clothing or costumes or outfits that people wear out in Burning Man. This is by no means a military. There's no common clothing. People are very, very different. And what is this? Is this something good? Is it bad? Right. So if I can talk for a minute, I would reflect on that if that's something.
Let me, before you go on, let me add to that, Moshe, because I think what's interesting is, you know, it's the empowerment of that, not only self-expression, but the authentic self. You know, we get away from the kind of the child within, the person that most people, a lot of people are disconnected from who they really are, what they would really be doing on a day-to-day basis if they didn't have to work to survive. And that's what I think is so powerful down there, is it cultivates that radical self-expression, is the individuality coming up. They kind of let go, we kind of let go of who we are in that professor role or the business role or whatever the case may be on a day-to-day basis, because as you said at the outset of the show, right, we fall into these social norms, and to radically express yourself sometimes puts you too far outside of that norm and maybe the subject to criticism. And that's certainly something that is very empowering down there.
Yeah, so I think, you know, so I'm in New York right now. I just came back from a fashion show before this. And the contrast, the interesting thing is to reflect on the contrast of how doing something with the real expression of self really makes a difference. So if we think about fashion, right, what is fashion? What is this form of expression, right? Some brand it as the epitome of materialism, some sort of self-obsessed, narcissistic, maybe demonic enslavement of women, which generates many evils, destroys the body and self-image of women in our culture, right? Some people would look at fashion as that. And sometimes you're in a setting and you feel this sort of negative, lifeless burst of energy. I have always seen it differently. From an economic point of view, which is, I think of economics as, first and foremost, a way to organize your thinking. I see fashion, much like other aspects of expression, as a complex collection of choices. And it's from these choices that we learn, at least initially, who the person is. So imagine, we're all endowed with some basic form and genetic makeup, but this form then evolves over time with our choices and the lifestyle that we choose. The way we carry ourselves, the length and styling of our hair, our expressions and tone of speech, they're all reflective of our background, which is a combination of our initial state and our choices. To this, we layer on our clothing. Each piece has to be or had to be acquired or borrowed from somewhere. Each piece has its own look and feel. Each piece will look and fall differently on our unique physiques. And all of this is part of this choice. All of these pieces are then chosen to to be worn on a particular day in a particular way in a particular environment, and these choices are a window into the soul of the person that lies behind them. This isn't to say that fashion says everything about a person. There are people that don't even own a mirror and completely surrender this dialogue with their self. But this is also a form of expression, and that will blend differently with different types of persona. And I think this is key. The key here is that there's a dialogue. In my own perspective, first and foremost, with myself. I think my own style evolved with my surroundings, and most extreme amongst which, of course, is the current New York City habitat. But as I collect more clothing and accessories, I rush in the morning just like anyone, get dressed. I look in the mirror, often with surprise at the person that's staring back at me. But this is my expression of self, one that happens almost subconsciously, but which undoubtedly teaches me where my conscious is at a given moment. And this can also teach you about other people. It can draw you to other people. Sure, it's not what you wear. It's not about chasing some latest Sex in the City or expression or popular designers, because if you do that, it'll look just like that. Fashion can be expensive, but if all you're doing is showing off the amount of money you can spend on clothing, it will come across as some ostentatious form of braggery. But even in those cases, when it comes across as that, you learn from it. So it's an imperfect means to process the rich heterogeneity that we face in the people that we see on the street. But that's not just it. It can be something else. And this something else is a real expression of self, of the uniqueness of the person, or more importantly, just an expression that the person is open to this type of expression, is welcoming and receiving. This is attractive. It doesn't have to be time-consuming. And there's a lot of this at Burning Man. And at Burning Man, you see, people would call them outfits, but you see these massive expressions of that people put together, some very quickly, some for a very long period of time, but you're hit with this, and you see something in the person through that lens, which is the way they manifest themselves.
Moshe, you have shown us something in your person that is manifesting so beautifully. And it's interesting because at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about how one of the reasons we wanted you on the show is because somebody like you being at a place like that. And as cool as that is that we're having this conversation, on the other hand, I feel it's kind of sad that we're having this conversation, because wouldn't it be wonderful if people like you or professors can dress how they want and can teach what they truly feel and can talk about the things that are important, whether they're teaching economics or whether they're teaching home economics, whatever it is, that they can fully express themselves through the jobs that they have chosen. We are running short on time. I just want to say goodbye and a final word from you if you'd like.
I think the last thing I would say, I agree with what you said, but it doesn't have to be anything. I don't think there's one piece that is critical. Fundamentally, it's an energy. What you have there is an energy. It's a state of being which affects how you look at people and how people look at you. You become open, and when you're open, you become instantly connected. And this can manifest in whatever you're doing. You don't have to dress in a particular way. But having that openness, one of the ways to achieve it is through these different forms of expression, does color everything in that way. And this is kind of getting that energy there and manifesting that energy is what we are going to reflect on going forward. So I really appreciate the time, and I hope this was useful to you and to the audience.
I'm sure it was, and it's fascinating, and I'm glad we've started this conversation on this level. What can I say except for thank you? And I feel like not only am I going to meet you, but you're going to go back to Burning Man and come back with even more stories. So we'll continue the conversation. With that, I want to thank our producer, of course, Martha Jure, Dorothy Donahue, our engineer, Seth Hendricks. I am Filippo Voltaggio saying thank you to all of you and reminding you that as life changes, we're there for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.